Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network with the Dankoff Report on this September the 20th, 2024. Here we are live on RBN. Dr. Patrick Slattery will join me shortly. Let me simply say this, that we are in the process of evaluating the present circumstance of the United States in regard to evil. Is the United States government the personification of evil? You can certainly argue that on the basis of the latest developments involving Mr. Zelensky and the Ukrainians and this NATO surrogate war against Putin's Russia. You can certainly argue that in spades now with Netanyahu's clear attempts vis-a-vis this pager war that has launched a new level of violence in Lebanon. Mr. Zelensky and Mr. Netanyahu obviously trying both to drag the United States into these conflicts before the American elections, if not shortly after the American elections. The outlook is not very good, folks, as well as what the United States government continues to do domestically in making sure that you don't find out about what they're doing. So what is their trick in all of this? Obviously to ban outlets like Russia Today from American citizens, and reading their coverage and watching their news shows is a clear attempt on the part of Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris and people like Tony Blinken to make sure that you and I don't find out what is transparently obvious, and that is that the United States government is in the forefront of trying to create a world government that would be where all individual nation states would be under the purview of that world government. And this power elite, largely Jewish and largely Zionist, would control all the world's natural resources. So we get into this whole business of this Russian-Ukrainian conflict, which, by the way, the Ukrainians are losing now in spades. We can begin to see, when you look at the number of raw materials that the Russians control in terms of world percentages, it's quite obvious what these guys are doing in terms of the New World Order. They want to break up Russia as a nation state. They want to destroy their Russian Orthodox culture. And they certainly want to be about the business of stealing all of these natural resources for this global homo entity. That's what this war is about, folks. It has nothing to do with any legitimate national security defense on the part of the United States government protecting our own borders and our own shores. Quite the contrary, these are the same people that have opened up the southern border of the United States to a foreign invasion that involves not thousands but millions of people. Just some 7.5 million or 7.8 million since the Biden administration came to power in 2021. So this is where this is all headed, folks, just more of the same. And as we watch events taking place in Lebanon, it's quite obvious in watching Israeli conventional troop deployments in northern Israel that they're getting ready to invade southern Lebanon and that there is a significant force on the ground that's just itching to jump into this thing. At the same time, of course, that the Iranians, I believe, will do something, but they're not ready yet. It's quite obvious that between Mr. Putin and Mr. Shoigu, dealing with the Iranian leadership, particularly their military and national security leadership, that among other things, the Russians are beefing up Iranian air defenses and potentially doing other things with Iran that involve Iranian transfer to Russia, or so the reports go, of extremely effective short-range ballistic missiles that Mr. Putin can introduce into the conflict with Zelensky. So things continue heating up. It's going exactly the way that many of us in this network have figured in the last couple of years that it would. We don't like being proven right, but once again, we are being proven right, both in terms of what's been going on in this country since 9/11 in particular, and what is now accelerating at a very, very frightening pace. When it comes to Russian activities as it relates to this military conflict, the roadmap will add big time over the weekend. I'll have my usual sources up there, ranging from Scott Berletic of the New Atlas to Mercuris of the Duran and Mr. Cristoforo of the Duran, as well as Larry Johnson, as well as Gordon Hahn. He has come out with an excellent multitude of articles in parts on the true nature of this Russian-Ukrainian conflict. And I want to make sure that you all out there have an opportunity to read these stories, because this is where I get my information. More importantly, there is no way in any talk radio show format that this kind of invaluable information can be processed. So as you're watching this whole conflict taking place in the Russian-Ukrainian war, there are several things to watch. One is the ongoing character of these Russian airstrikes throughout Ukraine. Whether you're talking about Fab 500 and Fab 1500 and Fab 3000 smart bombs that have a guided system attached to them so that they hit their target absolutely where they're supposed to conventional Russian airstrikes with other materials, you can see exactly what's transpiring here. You got the cruise missiles, you've got the hypersonic missiles, in addition to the airstrikes with the Fab bombs, and clearly with this multitude spectrum series of airstrikes that is ongoing in Ukraine, we're talking about the destruction of Ukraine's military depots, their logistics depots. We're talking about the destruction of Ukrainian electrical communications facilities and so forth, so that this is becoming in tandem with the Russian military advances to get you get these Ukrainian forces out of Kursk and a series of other places that I'll mention in a second. This is all going Russia's way. NATO is panicking. Biden and Harris are panicking, and Mr. Harris is panicking.
I'm standing by, so I'm here.
Sure, absolutely, Patrick. We'll get you in here in just a second. So keep an eye, folks. Keep an eye on these locations: Kursk, Kupiansk, Pokrovsk, Avdiivka, Kramatorsk, Slavyansk, in terms of the salient that the Russians will take after they take several of these other places that come up on the map. Watch for the possibility of a Russian offensive, believe it or not, in this case in the Zaporozhye-Kherson region. There are rumors of a Russian buildup that is designed to attack Zelensky's forces in that direction. But clearly, I think ultimately, between the Russian air war and the absolute catastrophe that this Kursk incursion now represents for Zelensky and this alleged General Sirsky that he has at his disposal, in regard to Ukrainian loss of life, in regard to this whole business of the destruction of Ukrainian armor, and so forth, it is quite a military disaster to behold. Takes us right back to the whole business of Germany in 1943 and their invasion of the Kursk region. By the way, I was refreshing my memory last night on some of this, not simply from Russian sources, but also rereading David Irving's section in his book Hitler's War on the whole business of what happened to the Nazis in the Kursk region. It is a story that more Americans need to familiarize themselves with. And Mr. Zelensky and General Sirsky needed to read those sections of Irving's book simply for the fact that you have a situation where they're making the same mistake that the Wehrmacht did in 1943 with the same results. So it is guaranteed that the Ukrainians are going to be in absolutely pitiful shape after they finally withdraw from the Kursk region with absolutely tragic results. So again, Kupiansk, Pokrovsk, Avdiivka, Kramatorsk, Slavyansk salient, Zaporozhye and Kherson region, and going back over what the Russians have already accomplished with Bakhmut and the earlier Mariupol engagement, this is where we're starting to see the Russian war of aggression, of aggressive attrition, as Mercurius puts it, and as Karl von Clausewitz would have put it. It's all coming together now in what will be a Russian victory. The only question now is what the conditions will be of a Ukrainian settlement or surrender. And based upon all the deceptions that the West is engaged in up to this point, with the attacks on the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, and with the fraud of Minsk 1 and Minsk 2, and subsequently the fraud of the Istanbul negotiations after the war first started in 2022, the Russians would be foolish at this juncture to agree to a freeze of hostilities that would simply give NATO and Zelensky the time to continue fooling around in the way that they've been fooling around in the last several years. I don't think that Putin is going to buy this this time. I would assume that his military general staff is not going to buy this. They need to work toward an absolute victory, and if that means occupying the entirety of Ukraine, occupy it, folks, and bring these people to a level of devastation and destitution that they have asked for. No alternative to this, and the time has come for people like Tony Blinken and Victoria Nuland and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Hunter Biden and Bill Clinton and all of these other frauds in both of the major parties who have supported this surrogate war against Russia utilizing Ukraine, for them to get it handed to them once and for all, and for the American people to stop allowing lives and precious resources and money to be wasted that could be spent on the betterment of humanity generally, and certainly to the betterment of the people of the United States, who are beginning to figure out that their own fortunes in terms of health insurance and economic infrastructure and public education and so forth and so on are all going directly to hell while these neoconservative warmongers continue to press for potentially the destruction not of hundreds of thousands of people, but potentially of millions of people in the days ahead. So with that in mind, I'll say one other thing before we bring Patrick into the picture. I've just started reading a book. I've recommended it already because I knew it would be a great book, and I've started reading the particulars now. Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin, On Resistance to Evil by Force. I'm going to be writing a book review on this book once I get it finished, and that'll be both for RPN listeners as well as for the people at VT Foreign Policy. It'll be published there. It'll be published on my own website, the Mark Dankoff's Catacomb, on WordPress. But suffice it to say that Mr. Ilyin, born in 1883, died in 1954, has written a treatise on opposition to evil by force that is, first of all, to be understood as a contradiction of the thought of Count Leo Tolstoy in regard to this whole business of pacifism. And in this regard, Mr. Ilyin's book is particularly understood in regard to solid Russian Orthodox theology, as well as the White Russian movement in the aftermath of the Bolshevik Revolution. But when we read all of the things that there are to read, just in the opening chapter on this guy's biography, this is absolutely a must-read book. I'll read one paragraph from this, which gets into the whole business of the relationship between Ilyin and the later inspiration of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, certainly a Russian writer that far more of us in the West are familiar with. But one cannot understand Solzhenitsyn, apparently, without understanding Ilyin. And here is a paragraph on the author that I think is absolutely pivotal in terms of all of the jewels that are in this book. His lectures, Ilyin's, sometimes were delivered in fluent German. They were not exactly conducive to the designs of Adolf Hitler's National Socialist regime, which came to power in 1933, and repeatedly attempted to bribe him, Ilyin, into becoming its propagandist among the emigre population. Ilyin refused these solicitations. While he had given great praise to fascism as an emergent anti-communist ideology, he had been deeply critical of its totalitarian party basis, its hostility to the Christian religion, and in the German case, its biological racial chauvinism. Like many other scholars who criticize these populist movements, quote-unquote, from the right, Ilyin suffered the consequences and was dismissed from his teaching post in 1934. Tragedy continued to strike Ilyin as in 1937, his brother Igor, who had remained in Russia, was executed for counter-revolutionary activity, and the following year he was forbidden from giving any speeches or distributing any writings, the Gestapo seizing all published copies of his work. So here you have a Russian Orthodox thinker caught between the excesses of Jewish Bolshevism on the one hand and the Nazi ideology on the other, whose place in Russian thought is guaranteed by his ability to think dialectically. Not insignificantly, he wrote a master's degree thesis on the thought of Hegel, That is beyond my present capabilities to understand. I'm just starting to get into this guy's work to the extent that it's available to us in English. But I will make sure that when I complete this book review, that all of you get an opportunity to get a good grasp of what is in this book, because we're not simply talking about its relevance in the first third of the 20th century. Folks, this thing is as relevant now as it was then, only this time the most obvious perpetrators of evil are not Jewish Bolsheviks and not Hitler's Nazis, but the United States government and the Zionist-occupied United States government and the evil forces that the United States is involved in with global homo and LGBTQ promotion worldwide, as well as the very sinister and evil and satanic use of Mr. Zelensky in Ukraine and Mr. Netanyahu in Palestine to kill thousands and potentially millions of innocent people, unless those of you listening to this in Texas and around the United States be not that concerned with it. The next thing, folks, is going to come when they get your kids and your grandkids involved in this. For all of a sudden, the things that Elian talks about in this book from a century ago will take on absolutely new relevance to you and to your community and to your family and friends, because, folks, we are on the brink not simply of a second war or a third world war, but when you look at the move of the United States domestically toward totalitarianism and the banning of social media and the banning of foreign news sources that don't fit the global homo LGBTQ Zionist perspective, you are in the process of losing your First Amendment to the United States Constitution, as well as many of the other freedoms that you believe that you possess as an American. And before I bring Patrick into this, let me remind you of one other thing that will be in your roadmap. You can see Hillary Clinton's interview with Rachel Maddow of MSNBC, where Hillary Clinton openly talks about the need to jail people who express improper opinions that have not been properly fact-checked in media, in social media in the United States. Now, folks, we don't need to go into any further detail in regard to Ms. Clinton's personal history and that of her husband for you to understand that for anyone in the American political elite to openly admit and to openly advocate that this is the direction that your government is going in, especially if the so-called Harris Waltz ticket is elected, this is serious business, and it's coming to us faster than we know. Eddie Arnold intervenes with Make the World Go Away. I'll bring Patrick into this when we get back. Stay tuned. Say the things you used to say.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemarineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away.
We are back. You are with the Dankoff Report live on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, September 20th, 2024, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. Wanted to say a couple more things briefly about Ilyin's book, Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin. And this comes from the very end of the biographical section of the book in the beginning. After the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, Ilyin has experienced a tremendous revival in Russia, where his books have been republished and widely read. In 2009, the government of the Russian Federation, with the personal involvement of President Vladimir Putin, negotiated the return of Ilyin's remains to his mother country, where he and his wife were reburied. They sleep in the soil of the Donskoy Monastery in Moscow, awaiting the return of their savior. That biographical sketch of the author comes to us from one K, first initial K Benoit, of whom I know very little, but he writes extremely well. But in this particular case, you will see from the beginning, the very first page of the of Ilyin's writings, his own writings, that he lays out for us the fact that even in his time frame, evil had reached a coalescence that had never been seen before in history. I suspect that 100 years later, almost 100 years to, after he wrote those words, he would say that we are now in a period of even greater coalescence of evil than was the case in this incredible pincer movement between Jewish Bolshevism and the Soviet Union on the one hand, and Hitler's National Socialism, National German Socialism on the other. Dr. Slattery, are you there?
I'm here, and I was enjoying your bumper music, Make the World Go Away. My neighbors will vouch for me that often I walk around late at night with my dogs singing that song, or maybe singing anytime. And often on Fridays, often I use that as my bumper music. I think it's a good lead into your show. Of course, today, because Dr. Duke was my guest, instead of using Eddie Arnold bumper music, I used Michael Jackson, because, you know, when you think Dr. Duke, you think Michael Jackson, or at least I do.
Before we get into your analysis of what in the world is going on right now, international and domestically, what did you and David cover on the Rents Network?
We covered the discussion/debate between Jeffrey Sachs and John Mearsheimer. that was it was hosted on a podcast by what's the guy's name? It's a different sax, some rich money bags, South African Jew, and it's called the All In Podcast. So the questions to Mearsheimer and the sax were from a particular kind of perspective. It was an interesting debate, and both of them have spoken pretty powerfully to broad audiences regarding the folly of American foreign policy. But they have certain disagreements philosophically, and Dr. Duke and I, in general, where they differ, we come down on the side of Jeffrey Sachs, but we have a critique of both, and of course neither is going to talk about Jewish power. And if you really want to understand what's going on and you ignore Jewish power, you're barking up the wrong tree.
Absolutely, and I think that that's a point that you and Dr. Duke and I and certain other of the what I consider to be the best people, the most responsible academics in the alt-right, have maintained consistently, and that is that if one is not seeing these events through that perspective and that grid, one is not really seeing what needs to be seen and what needs to be talked about. And I personally believe that between Zelensky in Ukraine and Netanyahu in Palestine, that these are the two of the real poster boys for the expression of international Jewish power and for the Zionist-occupied American government and American news media, which promotes these disastrous policies of these demonic people. With a lot more loss of life to come and potentially an apocalypse. So that's my perspective on this. What's your take on the events of the last 48 hours in Lebanon?
Well, I would really like to know just exactly the mechanics of this, the physics of it. I guess what's going on is these electronic products, pagers and whatnot, were being booby-trapped with with some sort of explosive, high explosive that wouldn't typically be in one of these products, and that the lithium battery was being caused to overheat as a detonation device. I assume that's what.
Short break with Eddie Arnold coming back to us with July You're a Woman from 1970. When Patrick and I return, we will follow up on his analysis of this pager situation in Lebanon with all of the implications. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendovite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I'd just as soon right now pull on over to this side of the road and show you what I mean.
You're back. You're listening to the RBN Live, the Republic Broadcasting Network, with the Dan Koff Report live from San Antonio, Texas, and with special and valued guest, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
Thank you.
We were discussing with Dr. Slattery before Eddie introduced us to our previous break, discussing with Dr. Slattery this whole business of the Israeli tampering with these pagers and walkie-talkies. And I was just simply going to say Edward Snowden, Brian Berletic of the New Atlas in particular, and Pepe Escobar and others are all introducing very interesting elements of this that I'll try and get up in the roadmap over for this show over the weekend as I try to piece together for myself what is the most likely way or ways in which this was done. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, I'm assuming that there was some sort of physical intrusion into this process whereby the devices were booby-trapped with a high explosive. I'm assuming that's the case. I mean, some have speculated that because lithium batteries can explode when they're overheated. This is something that we've known for a while that perhaps this was done purely, completely remotely, which would be terrifying because it would mean Jews in Israel would have the ability to cause any of these cell phones that we carry around with us to suddenly explode. This would be horrifying and would destroy like any prospect of a future lithium-based industry, really.
Let me interrupt you just to ask for a clarification of something. Are you implying with this the possibility that Israel and the Netanyahu regime and the powers that be in the American national security state could sanction turning pagers and walkie-talkies and cell phones into weapons against dissidents, legitimate dissidents in the United States? Is that where we're going with this?
Well, yeah, and on Mercurius's long show that he does by himself, he mentioned that there's an international treaty that even Israel is a signatory to that consumer products that are just typically used by regular people, cannot be booby-trapped with explosives. this is something that there's been an agreement to. It's not a famous treaty, but you know, this has terrifying prospects if just typical consumer products can be booby trapped. But the thing is, even if it's not, if it's lithium batteries with no intervention other than, you know, computer virus that is sent to them remotely, that is horrifying. But even if it requires the physical intervention of opening up, of inserting some sort of explosive into a device during the manufacturing stage, the fact that a security-obsessed organization like Hezbollah would receive not just pagers but other devices, and that this type of booby trapping could get through their security process, which is much stronger than my security process, and probably most of the people in the audience, probably very few people in the audience, have opened up their phones to see whether or not explosive has been planted in there. You know, you have to ask, how widespread could this be? So I think it's horrifying, and I think the fact that these Israeli Jews and their American supporters in the so-called American deep state have embarked on this type of thing, it means that can we really tolerate the existence of such an entity?
Exactly. It kind of gets back to the movie Spectrum, the Daniel Craig James Bond movie, where Mr. White, who throughout the series of Craig's James Bond adventures was basically a bad guy working for Spectre, and yet at the end, Mr. White showed some degree of repentance. And he was telling Daniel Craig that Mr. White, was going to lose his life in a few weeks or a month because the people he was working for had put thallium in his cell phone. So in this particular case, we are now talking about a whole new stage, a whole new world in terms of the use of electronic devices of all kinds for satanic evil. In a world that Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin could not have imagined 100 years ago. But in the hands of people like Netanyahu and the movement that he represents, maybe this is going to bring the American public to a different awareness of how vulnerable they are to the forces that they don't seem to have a problem with when those forces are doing these things to Lebanese people, Palestinian people, Iranians, and so forth and so on. I think there's more than a little bit of latent racism involved in that, if I might suggest it. But in this particular situation, more and more people, including Brian Berletic of the New Atlas, and I think Edward Snowden implies it as well, need to be taking a look at the enablers of Israel, which means chiefly this government and these Zionist ideologues in all kinds of places in this government, that might just decide that when it comes to Hillary Clinton's ideas expressed to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC about putting people in jail in the United States for putting things on social media that these global homo fact checkers don't like. That's the bottom line. That's my interpretation of what she's saying. I think it's legitimate. That certainly would imply that you're not too far away from the kind of totalitarian outlook that would begin to physically eradicate people in much the same fashion as this has been done in southern Lebanon in the last couple of days. I really foresee this as a strong possibility. I mean, we are dealing, folks, with the satanic at this point.
One of the, who was it? I think it was Ray McGovern. Ray McGovern was on Judge Napolitano's show talking about this and alluded to briefly, without going into details, some sort of defector from the American intelligence service. When we say defector, a dissident whose electric vehicle was taken over remotely and accelerated and smashed into a tree or a wall or something. So you know, these types of things, we know they're technically possible. People really haven't thought too much about, well, most people haven't thought too much about them because, well, would they really do that? But what we're seeing right now is, well, yes, some of these people would really do it. Who would really do it? Obviously, the Israeli government would really do it. Oh, but there's no penetration of the Israeli government into the American government. No, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, of course, we have exposed that problem not simply for months or even a handful of years, but for decades. And this particular case, it may be that the Zionist movement and the Israeli government that is its manifestation in the world has, with these events in the last 48 to 72 hours in southern Lebanon with these pagers and walkie-talkies, suddenly begun to manifest itself in regard to a red line for the rest of us in regard to our own vulnerability to these things. And folks, when you start talking about the Levant affair, we start talking about the Meyer-Lansky-Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination, when you start talking about Israel's deliberate attack on the USS Liberty in June of 1967, you start talking about the Pollard spy case, the Promise affair. You start talking about the Apollo, Pennsylvania nuclear materials theft that took place at the NUMEC plant there that Mr. Netanyahu himself was personally involved in, by the way, after the death of President Kennedy. And then you started getting into 9/11 and the War on Terror, the USA Patriot Act, and all of these latest developments. Including the way in which the resumption of an American draft, folks, has been slipped in right underneath your noses with the latest versions of the National Defense Authorization Act. It's quite obvious that a government that historically has been as evil as the Zionist governments have been and that has had an absolutely evil and satanic and growing influence in the American government over decades, that it would make sense to me, and I think Thomas Jefferson would say the same thing. An American government that would support these people in Palestine is the same American government that would support these kinds of evils domestically. And I would suspect...
I just want to clarify, when you say these people in Palestine, you're talking about the Israeli government.
The Israeli government, yes. And in fact, when you start talking about the Netanyahu regime, is arguably being the worst government, the most extremist government in the history of a racist state. I think the Netanyahu regime, the current composition of it, has perhaps brought Israel to a whole new level of satanic control. At the same time, that the genocide they're undertaking, which is obviously intended to ethnically cleanse all of Palestine, is now entering into its phase with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. But the methodology in this case is what I think is so critically important. You're underlining that for us, Dr. Slattery. Edward Snowden and Brian Berletic of the New Atlas and Pepe Escobar, among many other people, are underscoring the fact that the implications of this, as far as these technologies being turned on the rest of us, who don't like any of this and have spoken out against it and have written about it. Folks, just contemplate Hillary Clinton's words on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow a couple of nights ago. If she thinks that you and I ought to be put in prison for this radio broadcast, Patrick, and many of the things that we've written in articles, certainly you're not that far removed from one of the Zionist assets in the American political elite. Putting the toe in the water, at least, in terms of considering the physical eradication, not simply our removal, but the physical eradication from what we represent and our First Amendment rights, that certainly in a state of hysteria that could be introduced in this country with a right false flag operation to give Netanyahu new warlike powers with the involvement of the United States government overtly, that we could be next. I don't think I'm being melodramatic in suggesting that on the air, that no. We got to be prepared for what it is that we've chosen to oppose, And many of us saw these types of things coming in the last 20 years, but certainly the manifestation of these pager and walkie-talkie explosions in Lebanon, courtesy of a supply chain situation that Israel was very much able to infiltrate with the Mossad at a particular point in the supply chain of their choosing. That could be one of two or three different places, folks, but nonetheless, they did it. What else have they already done in terms of our electronics here in this country, surveillance and otherwise?
Well, yeah, and that's the same question I asked myself, and it made me remember in the months after 9/11, a couple months after 9/11, Fox News famously had a week where for five straight days, Carl Cameron appeared on Brit Hume's show and gave 10 or 15 minute segments on aspects of Israeli spying in the United States. And everybody's probably aware of his coverage of the dancing Israelis.
Yes.
These videos were, there was an attempt to purge them from the internet, but they're still out there. And so I did a quick search for one that I remembered, which was on Israeli firms being employed by telecom companies to do our billing for us, to do their billing, you know, companies like AT&T. And I was able to find it, and I've put the link to it. It's at the top of nationalbugle.com, which you used to be very active in keeping that updated. I don't keep it updated very much, but if you pull up nationalbugle.com, on the left-hand side, the war section, you'll find a link to that Carl Cameron report right there. And he talks about a company called Amdocs. And this was this is 23 years ago. 23 years ago, Amdocs was already handling the billing for the top 10 telecommunications companies in America, and it was involved in countries all over the world. It's an Israeli firm. And I thought, oh, okay, that was 23 years ago. I wonder what's the situation with Amdocs now. And so, because it's not a household name, so I pulled up Amdocs on Wikipedia, and Amdocs is doing just fine, thank you. They're expanding their business. They're getting into all sorts of other things. So this is a firm that's got, you know, all these Israeli startup firms, they're either started up by former military or former Mossad. And so they've all got links to the Israeli government. So the Israelis have access to everybody that we're phone calling to, whether they have the access to the actual content or not. Maybe they do now. So they know who we're talking to. They know where we are because your cell phone company has to know where you are in order to route calls to you. So Big Brother is real, and Big Brother is wearing a little hat.
Exactly, and I think once again, folks, a very classic example, just to name one, the Global Optics people that are getting Google more involved in cable television and internet service, been very active in my particular neighborhood in Northeast San Antonio in recent times. You consider all of the things that could be involved in this, not to mention what has already taken place in terms of what has happened in southern Lebanon that we might already have been set up for and don't know it. For example, Hezbollah, as I understand it, procured these pagers and walkie-talkies about 5 months ago. It's only in the last couple of days, of course, that this plot has revealed itself with these explosions. And again, there is no doubt, folks, and the National Security Agency's global internet surveillance system is right here in San Antonio in their alliance with Bill Gates of Microsoft, big complex here. The NSA has a very amazing operation here that is, in terms of internet surveillance, far larger than what they have going on in Maryland. Now, you consider the implications of that. I have no idea they're listening to this, recording it, recording our locations, recording our content, and keeping an eye on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which they've been doing for years, along with some of the other alt-right electronic and media outlets. But folks, illegal surveillance, which is obviously in violation of your Fourth Amendment rights, is one thing. That's bad enough. But when you start talking about someone like Hillary Clinton openly advocating our imprisonment for anything we might put on social media and doing it on Maddow's MSNBC show, that's suggestive. But, of course, and this is where I think Dr. Slattery is coming from, certainly Edward Snowden, Brian Berletic, Pepe Escobar, and some of these other folks, this red line has been crossed, it seems to me, with what Netanyahu and Mossad have done in Lebanon. Get ready, folks, because those of you left or right who oppose what these fiends are doing could well end up as the next victims, of this. And as I understand it, many of these people that lost their lives in southern Lebanon would receive a message in their own language on their pagers, for example, or pager screens. They would quite naturally put the thing up close to their face in order to read the message, and then subsequently there would be the explosion that ensured that it went off right in the individual's face. It's pretty sophisticated stuff coming from the Israeli Mossad, but again, the absolute provable link historically, the symbiotic relationship between the Israeli Mossad and the American Central Intelligence Agency goes all the way back to James Jesus Angleton into that era in American black operational intelligence that even takes us back into the realm of the assassination of John Kennedy. So, folks, these electronic methodologies and technologies are in the hands of these people right now. Will they be turned against us? I think that that's a legitimate question, that we're not talking about melodrama here. We are talking about the realm of distinct possibility and perhaps not all that far removed from enactment by these folks if we actually move into a state of overt American military involvement, both in Palestine to support Netanyahu, as well as some form of NATO intervention to support a Zelensky regime that is militarily finished and close to being politically finished. That's my fear. And, Patrick, I think you're underscoring that in terms of your own thinking this afternoon.
Absolutely. To what extent is it already here? We, for instance, Dr. Duke, who was on my show 20 years ago, he was put in the slammer for trumped up charges. This type of thing has been around in terms of political repression. You know, you look at all the arrests of, say, January 6th protesters. You look at, the persecution of Julian Assange. So there is a absolute ruthlessness. And then regular people, or when I say regular people, people we know being deplatformed, being defunded in various ways, being driven out of their jobs and occupations. So this has been going on. How big of a step is it to jump from ruining people's lives to actually having kinetic attacks on their bodies? I don't think it's that big of a jump, and you're seeing it overseas. There's probably been cases of it here that Ray McGovern alluded to one, and there's certainly the potential for it. And at this point, we all really should be very alarmed. And it's time to start talking about it. And we can't shy away from this Jewish aspect of it. It is part and part. These Israelis, they're not just Israelis, they're Israeli Jews. These neocons aren't just neocons, they are Jewish neocons. Who was Bob Woodworth's side? Bernstein, Carl Bernstein famously pointed out, Jewish neocons. Can I say that? And Scarborough said, no, I don't think you can say that. He says, well, I'm Jewish, so I'm going to say it. We can't shy away from it. Everybody wants to think of some sort of sanitary language, some sort of kosher language that they can use so they don't sound like they're anti-Semitic. We have to deal with reality, and the reality doesn't reflect well on a lot of aspects of Jewish society.
Yes, and I think to underscore your point here, go back to Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars, the great Roman Catholic traditionalist, probably the leading academic of his movement in the United States. That's arguable, but I would say that he probably holds that position. Some years ago, he put me on and his readers on to Murray Friedman's book, Neoconservatism as a Jewish Movement, I think is the title. It's absolutely encyclopedic. And coming from a Jewish source, it is absolutely damning in terms of the actual legitimate factual character of seeing neoconservatism and Jewish identity and Zionism as virtually one and the same thing. So, folks, we're dealing with people who have crossed over into the so-called conservative movement from Trotskyism historically. And when you look at the reality of this, and what these people advocate and what they've been doing domestically in this country for a long time, and what they're aiding and abetting in terms of the international global scene and through people like Netanyahu and Zelensky, this is a Jewish movement, folks, and I think Victoria Nuland should be seen as the poster girl for it. And by the way, when all of the things y'all have up on the roadmap for this show over the weekend, take a look at what I'll be posting up there in regard to all of the persecutions of the canonical Ukrainian Orthodox Church in Ukraine, courtesy of Mr. Zelensky, who represents the synagogue of Satan, Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I wanted to thank Dr. Slattery for coming on with me. I'll have a great roadmap for you constructed in the next 24 hours that will be posted. It is a link already here in just a few minutes with this show when it does post. And I'll have that review of Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin's book on resistance to evil by force, hopefully accomplished in the next week. It's heavy sledding, but it's must reading for all of us. I'll see you next week. God bless us. God bless all of you out there who are trying to maintain the good faith in the midst of the affliction of the beast. Bye-bye.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.